Is now 7:36. We will call to order this meeting of the Village of River Forest Sustainability Commission. Co-Chair Charette.
Yes.
Co-Chair Lennon. Commissioner Cadleck. Commissioner Avalos.
Here.
Commissioner Hoyt.
Here.
All right. And Student Commissioner Steerwalt.
To do that.
I'll put your thumb right there.
First item of business is public comment. I have not received anything in advance. There is no one on the Zoom and no one here. So we will move on to adoption of the March 10th meeting minutes.
I'll move that we adopt the meeting minutes.
All right. Second by Commissioner Avalos. Co-Chair Charette?
Yes.
Co-Chair Lennon?
Yes.
Commissioner Cadleck?
Yes.
Commissioner Avalos?
Yes.
Commissioner Hoyt?
Yes.
Minutes are adopted. All right. We will then move on to Commissioner updates if anybody has anything that is not on the agenda.
Yeah, I have a couple of things. One is happens frequently. I bumped into Mark Kelty, and you know, he's BS, you know, he lives in the same alley. And he did thank us for approving what we did approve for the blowers. He told me that they're having a lot of issues with battery life right now out in Oak Park. So he thanked us for at least having the seasons on ours. But one thing he told me is that he's concerned that, you know, the landscapers are just going to throw the batteries away because they're really not an immediate way to recycle them, in his opinion. So I went and did a lot of Googling in that, and he's actually pretty much correct. You know, around here you have a choice. You have Lowe's, and that's about it. Waste management, I guess, does it. Yeah, but you know, we don't use waste management. So the company that, you know, does the collections at like Home Depot, Lowe's, and all that, it had a different name, but now they're called Battery Network. And you're just Googling through there, where can you take these things? Number of villages have set that up. And they're using Battery Network to do it. And you can go on there and say, I want to be this. I want to do this. And, you know, like Niles, Lincolnwood, Elk Grove, Willamette, Rolling Oaks, Arlington Heights, Northfield, they're all currently listed there. So part of my thinking, Seth, was, I don't know, I think we limit it to the small batteries, right? So the batteries I'm talking about are called the medium format batteries, which are the anything bigger than that, basically, whether it be an e-bike or, you know, a snowblower, those types of things. So it'd be worthwhile, I think, looking into from a village standpoint to see if we can't set something up and then get that out to people, especially like the landscapers and that. So they have a place they can
absolutely
recycle them versus just throwing them in the trash.
Battery Network, you said, was it?
Yeah, I can send you the site. It's called Battery Network, though. There, you know, if you Google it, it'll come up with it, and just put in your, you know, zip code, and it pops up all the sites. But most of the sites only take, like we do here, the smaller stuff.
Yeah.
So I think it'd be worth looking into.
Absolutely.
And as we get to the next format, next thing on our aggregate, if, you know, if we, that turns out to be something that's going to cost us money, well, maybe that's someplace to steer the money, something like that. But we haven't covered that part yet. The other one I'll bring up is Recycle Coach. In doing this, I thought, well, why am I doing all this Google hack? I'll just go to Recycle Coach. I get basically a blank screen with the app. Is there anything on there? I mean, there's
a lot of the information was like for like specialty stuff was provided by the county. So like anything specific to LRS or any sort of site specific things, those are really the only things I entered in. And the county was supposed
that's
to.
That's all I get.
Oh. That I will need to look into. I thought you were talking about like searching like how to dispose of something.
Well, yeah, I mean, I was expecting at least get a box that I could ask questions, and I get just.
I'm gonna reach out to the contact at Recycle Coach. Yeah. Could you email me just a screenshot of that, and I can look at that? So that's just on the phone app, not through the
right. This is
desktop.
I went out and, you know, downloaded the app and popped up with River Forest, and even when I do the discoveries, I guess if I'm a kid, I got some Recycle Kid stuff, but that's it.
Got it.
All right.
Yeah,
So I'll
let
send you shots of this.
perfect. Yeah, that'd be I'll yeah, Liz is the sort of local person who works for is her name. She's also part of the like Food Scrap and Compost Coalition. So I
Okay.
knew her prior to her role in Recycle Coach, so I can work with her on that.
Right. So that's it for me.
I guess I'll just say that this month is Earth Month. They should make it yearly so they don't shove all the events. But there's some great events happening this month that the village is hosting, and One Earth Film Festival. It's a week-long thing next week, and there's actually some screenings next week in Oak Park and River Forest, one at Dominican. I can't remember all of them, but I'm gonna try to make a few. And something about films and stories that does something to my heart. I don't know. But yeah, that's mine. And yeah.
All right. Moving on from there, we can move to the Bird City stuff. So I had folders saved, and of course, just bringing my laptop down here and being on the Wi-Fi rather than plugged in upstairs, I can't access that entire drive. So we will start off with what David had sent me earlier today. You need a copy of it?
No, I've.
Yeah. So, and then I will get the document he emailed me up on the screen shortly.
Oh, that would be great.
Because I can still get my email, so I can get those ones.
So on the Bird City project front, we're closing in on World Migratory Bird Day, less than a month. And our first event will be the big sit at Thatcher on that weekend. Followed by a bird walk. I forget the date. I think it's the 19th, for all of the retired folks in the world at 10:30 in the morning at Thatcher Oaks. Okay, I'll see you there. And then I forget the date. The next week, 27th, 8th, or something like that. I will be facilitating a discussion of this book. I'm going to pass that around. If you guys haven't seen that, if you take a look, there's a limited number of hard copies available through Swan, the local library. Think it's going to be a lot of competition. People crawling all over themselves to get three copies. The book is also available in ebook format through the library. Read it on your tablet, the laptop. So on the website is the suggested readings, just selections for the whole thing, but I've just pulled out three chapters that I think are most relevant to what we're trying to do. So that's coming up. I just had a question, but as we approach all this stuff, of course, publicity is key. Since I'm a social media guy.
Yeah, it is all scheduled to be promoted. We've got it up on the website. I've already added it to the sustainability calendar, which some of the events, I know Manolo just mentioned all the Earth Month events, some of those might have passed. But there will be dedicated things for
Okay,
to promote these
to sort of
events.
broadcast
Yep.
stuff. And also, for those of you who do maintain Facebook accounts and whatnot, feel free to link to and publicize any of these events on your own networks. I'm asking my wife to do the same thing. And I know, like, yeah.
And I shared it with Oak Park Sustainability Coordinator, and they were going to cross promote it as well.
Oh, all three of the events or the
I
book
definitely I didn't
discussion.
have the link, I don't think, to the second bird event, but I do have the big sit I sent him and the discussion, the book
Okay,
discussion.
I'll get you the bird walk. Yeah. Okay. And then sort of breaking news as of this morning, I heard back from Dominican. And I've been in communication with them, and somehow or another, they are cooperating. And so it looks like there's no guarantee, but it looks like we may be able to get their blessing to at least have some observers, probably student observers, on their grounds at dusk and not get in trouble with security. And also potentially get up on a roof or multiple roofs of their building. And so we're in the process of trying to figure out which would be the best buildings to use. So a fortuitous chain of contacts led to that, and we're in the process of discussing it. Another development sort of along those lines, and with regards to the focal species in the Nighthawk survey, is Dr. Deshwal, who's an ornithologist down at Bradley. I think I mentioned I contacted him last time. So he's very enthusiastic about this. He's actually done published research on this bird in central Illinois, hasn't come up to Chicago. So he's offered to let us use his equipment, which consists of camera traps chiefly. And so looks like if this comes together, if he can get up here, if it all the moving parts work, when we go up to the roof at Roosevelt, hopefully Dr. Deshwal will come with us and install a camera trap there, which means we don't have to, it'll do the work for us, right? And then also at Dominican.
Would that be a live feed or?
I believe so.
And like watch the Eagles and all that?
Well, I don't know who's going to be watching it.
But it, yeah, but it's...
I think down the road, if we do this, I would. I think this would be good to sort of do in subsequent years. But having a bird cam would be a wonderful way to publicize this and can build on our work. So it's looking like Roosevelt, Dominican, still waiting to hear back from OPRF.
How long would the camera be up there?
The length of the study. So, you know, we're not getting it up onto Roosevelt until like the 16th. And then we'd probably want to take it down after we're done in mid-July, so a month. But, you know, down the road, if things solidify around this project and it becomes a local thing, we might be able to keep them up there longer. And that would be cool to have on the River Forest one. Yeah. Okay. So that's very, very good. Dr. Deshwal is a busy guy, but he does seem to be interested in helping us out. Oh, the other thing that he volunteered to share with us is he owns a thermal drone of military grade. I don't know where you, so I know you'd mentioned the police department has something, but yeah, this is like a device designed for search and rescue. So it's heat sensitive, and basically you program it to survey an area, just hit a button and it goes and does the work. Now, I don't know if we'll be using that. Maybe not this year. Perhaps down the road.
Has it tried it on anything that small? Because you know, I do the search and rescue stuff, and typically they're looking for they're not seeing rabbits and stuff.
Well, you know, good question. I'll defer to him. Yeah. He sounds like he's used it. So I guess you might be able to like adjust the resolution or the grant, you know, to look for just what you're targeting. So that's good. Now that we have some sites and some gear and some potential rooftops, I've begun assembling the sites. That's what this is, the paper you have in front of you, which correlates with this. So in each zone, sector, A, B, C, and D, which is like our survey area that I broke it up in, we have a number of sites. Now, this is all drawn from observation data uploaded onto eBird, run by Cornell University. And these points are a subset of those. These are June and July annual every year that they have records of. Those are the blue points.
So the way you interpret this is every blue point means a nighthawk has been spot, really?
Yeah. Okay. And then I had something else that I didn't get to you guys in time, but within each zone, these are where nighthawks have been heard, sighted, whatever. But then we also have some reports that are coded as breeding behavior. So someone has observed courtship or breeding behavior. Typically, that's a sort of dive and a sort of aerial display. And there's about 8 of those. Those are the asterisks in each zone. So
where'd you get this data from?
eBird, which is a database. Cornell University. And again, this is just like limited to what we'll be looking at June and July, which is the breeding period, because a lot of birds will just fly through. You'll see them in May. You'll see them again in August and September, and there could be hundreds. But we want the guys that are parked in Oak Park and River Forest, most likely, therefore, to be breeding. And then these are the hot spots. And as we assign, as we have a better idea of who our volunteers are, the 12 kids at OPRF, there's a couple adults that have expressed an interest in doing this to me. And we get an idea of what kind of manpower we have, we can begin assigning people to this. Now, I think it's clear that River Forest has the majority of bird sightings, but also of breeding reports. I don't know if that's simply because it's more heavily canvassed than the other areas. So I think if we have enough manpower, it would be good to assign some folks to B, C, and D, especially B and D.
Actually, David's house is right in the middle of that concentration.
Oh yeah,
was that on Lathrop?
No, if we were on the screen and you tapped that my name would pop up.
Oh, because you've cited them.
Yeah, yeah. No, I know some of the people that are associated with these blue pins.
Are any of them you?
Huh?
Are any of them you?
New?
You.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, my house is one.
Okay.
And then the Concordia one over there, that's me.
And what do the red arrows indicate?
The red arrows are these asterisks. Those are the sightings that are coded for breeding behavior. So someone saw a boom, a dive, which means there's a nest and there's a pair. And that's the most valuable kind of information we have, because we know then where the birds are actually doing their thing. But again, we have most of that information for A and much less for B or D. So if you know, we can get, and I'm talking to Ms. Wong over at OPRF, enough bodies, I'd like to distribute some of them in areas that have not been so heavily observed. But that's the next step. That and then coming up with the protocol that will be given to everybody to help them record their observations. And and then actually picking the sites. So there's still some work to do to get this ready to go. And hopefully I can go to the environmental club before school gets out. When is OPRF let out? Do you know?
Shortly after 3, I think.
What's that?
Shortly after 3.
3:12. Yeah. Okay. Before the school year, and get them all signed up. So
what do the blue dots that have something inside of them? There's a few over in Thatcher Woods. What does that mean?
Like a flame or something.
Well, that's a hot spot.
Which means there's a bunch of them.
There's a threshold. I don't know what it is of species that have been seen there. I don't know what the number is.
Okay.
But like obviously Thatcher Woods.
Concentration.
Yeah. Like over 100 or something.
Oh, wow.
Like 120. So that's what that means. But the interesting things I just want to point out is that, Gary, you had mentioned Thatcher Woods, that gravel parking lot. Mm-hmm. And I was talking to a fellow who's, huh?
And the tracks, right?
Yeah. We could look at the tracks. I'm a little less convinced that that would be a...
But that hotspot looks like it is the parking lot.
Yeah. Oh, that's all of Thatcher Woods.
It's not that precise.
It's just generic.
Yeah. Okay.
Because one of the sightings of actually, the only sighting of nestling nighthawks, chicks that we have is from Augusta and Thatcher, right on the edge of the woods there. And I don't know if I marked that. But they are in Thatcher Woods. They may be nesting at Dominican and their fledglings are looking for territory in Thatcher or whatever. But Thatcher is definitely a place to cover. There's a fellow that's working with us on that. There have been some, Keystone is another place, but the lights there that draw the insects. Obviously Concordia, where I saw some breeding behavior. And then Jewel Osco, which is very interesting. So if anybody would like to take Jewel Osco, it's kind of close to you, isn't it?
Yeah.
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 That could be fun.
Eighth of a mile.
Okay.
You might be able to see, does it have a flat roof?
Where at Jewel?
What's that?
Where, I mean, do they say where they see them?
Well, it's kind of vague. People oh. like.
So on the roof or?
In the, usually in the air.
Oh, okay.
But that one, it was like there was diving, mm-hmm. which means they might be using the roof. So, yeah. Okay. I'll put you down for Jewel Osco.
Luis,
lives there too.
Yeah, I was going to say our former commissioner lives in a building that overlooks the roof of Jewel. I know.
Maybe shoot me his contact information.
Louis, you know, Luis.
Luis?
Who was on our Luis Menetetsu?
He might not have overlapped. I think you might have actually been.
Maybe he took her spot.
I think he took her place.
Yeah. You replaced Luis?
Yes.
Okay. Man yeah. or
woman?
Woman.
Yeah.
Oh, Louise?
Louise. Did you know Louise? No.
That could be useful. Yeah.
I don't know if she'd be willing to do it, but
interesting. Yeah. And then Oak Park, the parks, obviously, OPRF is a major place. We might have two teams on that. There's a little park called Randolph Tot Lot that had a breeding coded sighting. And then there's a number of spots along the Madison corridor. Madison, Washington corridor, Circle Drive actually is where they all kind of center. There's just a lot of old three flat type buildings that probably provide interesting habitat. The church there, St. John Evangelical, right on that mm-hmm. stretch also had a little cluster. Not much going on in D, but we'll try to see if we can maybe, hopefully there's gotta be Columbus Park. There has to be more action over there. Mm-hmm. So, that's my job in the next week or so, is to sort of nail down the points. So like Gary, I would give you some instructions and it would be something like, I haven't figured out if I just would ask you to stand in a certain spot for 45 minutes or, you know, suggest, you know, give you like a perimeter to march around. I think probably the latter.
Question for you, Dave. The data here is what? How old?
Oh, this goes back to 1976. I mean, it's like everything they have.
Okay.
But the bulk of it is, I would say, 10 years old.
Okay. So let's say you want me to do the circle around Jewel and not get arrested doing it, right?
But, no, you're a commissioner. You flash your commissioner badge.
Better than having me do it around the elementary school.
True. In your trench coat.
Yeah. Would it be smart to not have, would it be smart to kind of recent data? Would it be wise to focus on recent data, like something a year old or something?
Because
if this could have been 10 years old.
Yeah. I mean, I think just impressionistically, when I was going through the data, it's like, you know, 5 or 6 years. What's important is it's all May, June, or June, July.
Okay.
And yeah, I mean, if we wanted to, I don't know. Yeah, I guess I could have limited. I could limit it to the last 5 years.
Yeah. Yeah. Do they continue to come back, the families or the offspring, the same spot?
I believe so.
Okay.
Yeah. No, the passage of these birds through this area is pretty consistent.
Okay.
So as I can testify just living here and observing them myself. So, yeah, my job will be then to give you like, kind of a quadrant that you'll march around, and then a little sheet, and it'll just have like time, location, and then dot, you know, you fill in herd, birds, all that kind of thing. So,
would that then be uploaded into eBird as well? At the observation?
Eventually. Yeah. So we would need to keep track of the date, the time, your location. If we loaded it immediately into eBird, it would all be lost. They have so much data, it would just be lost. So I think we want to keep it on paper and under our control, we can put, if anybody is good with data. I'm looking at the young people.
Yeah. Well, I've done like projects through like iNaturalist or something where you just make like a specific project and then you can upload all the observations into there. And then like that keeps it contained. So it's not just loose in the whole system of like all observations.
Okay.
So
yeah.
We could see if something like that might be a possibility.
Also, I was thinking like, I think it would benefit the whatever this, apologize, I forget the website where you get this data from. I think it would benefit it, but I also think maybe if we could somehow through our Bird City draft webpage, or I don't know if it's live yet, but put it on there
for
people
sure.
who are interested.
And I can always help with the data as well, because I'll need to sort of compile everything for documentation for the designation anyway. So yeah, happy to do that as well.
And then assuming Dr. Deschwal at Bradley does wind up involving himself. Oh, the other thing he offered, and this was wonderful, especially when he found out that there would be likely students participating from Roosevelt, OPRF, what have you, he offered to sort of put together a publication that would count all student participants as co-authors. And he knows where that would be accepted for publication. So that's something I think that I would share with potential student volunteers. And I think that would be cool. And it could be the one that's published, put on the website with the data. But he may have a good idea of how to build a database. I think ultimately we would want to share with eBird because it's important data, but I want to hold it first and then we can put it up later. You can always upload retroactively.
Yeah, I would love to have to help out with the data as well, and I think it'd be a good opportunity for Triton students, because Dr. Turner and I talked a little bit about it today, and he's excited for it, and he's of the bio classes or like adjacent classes, you know, he's got the one of students this summer and everything who could be willing to help with something like that.
Okay. By when do you guys wrap up? Or there'll be summer schools.
Yeah. Yeah. There's the summer semester. So the class will start, let's see, like, 14th of
I
June.
think June 14th
Yeah.
around then. Yeah, I suppose.
And then run until, is that too? Because you were looking to start earlier.
They could
that.
Help with the second half of the project.
Yeah.
But we would, okay. Yeah. And, you know, the OPRF kids could help with the first half. But as long as we could get them on board, like.
We can also snag some environmental club people, I think, for the first half. And like, yeah, I'm willing to travel. So
yeah, if you just needed like observers.
Yeah.
All right. So if I got to you, like the kind of orientation materials and everything you needed to know, you could then take them to the club or whatever and get some volunteers.
Yeah.
So like mid-May, if I got that stuff to you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that'd be doable.
That'd be great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that about covers it.
All right. I will share. Give me 1 second to get the next thing up. So I believe I had sent everyone this direct link. Is that? There we go. So I put this together on the Village website. It's currently hidden from navigation, but this has all the information thus far regarding the Migratory Bird Day events. This is the one I don't have the link for, but I know you'd given me the time, so I had enough information. The book discussion. I've got that one. It's the bird walk. Yeah, I've got the book discussion linked. And a link to the book directly as well. So I've even uploaded the flyers that the students had worked on. So here's one. And then, so I put that one in there, and then I put the other one in just commitment to bird habitat, like a separate subsection, because I feel like this one was more general information that included light pollution, but also had the pesticides, cats, bird-friendly windows. So those are both linked here. National Wildlife Foundation, bird-friendly habitat tips link. And then just sort of a paragraph at the end of like, we'll be doing more with the Nighthawk monitoring this summer, basically, just a general stance so we can sort of continue to plug in information here.
If you would like a kind of separate sidebar or dedicated page to that, because I kind of envision it being an ongoing project.
Yeah, I can
Yeah.
add a sub page to this even and
Okay.
keep that going. Or yeah, just sort of yeah, link to it from here.
Okay. And also, I guess one more thing. I was now that those proclamations have been issued, which is awesome, and the Compost Week. But those proclamations were issued. I still plan to write a letter to the Wednesday Journal
Oh, yeah.
for announcing the Nighthawk project. So that hopefully will get people's attention.
And I think the social media post that had the black and green graphic from the student,
Yeah.
I think it got like 50 shares on Facebook. It got a lot of engagement for like, I
Perfect.
mean, we get 3 or 4 likes for a standard post. So, I mean, like, yeah. And like sharing it is even typically less. So it got a lot of traffic for that. So I think, you know, as we
Awesome.
sort of roll out more information, I think there's going to be a lot of interest just based on what we've put out thus far.
I will share that with the creator. That was the Lights Out
Yep.
flyer. Okay. Great.
Or it might have been like 50 likes, but then there was like a noticeable amount of shares as well, like in addition to the likes. So it was,
Probably
yeah.
all the like 13-year-old friends of the author, creator. But that's great. Okay. Do you want us to look at this like
Yeah, I mean, I
send out the
can.
link?
Yeah, I sent the link. I can send it again tomorrow. If there are any edits, let me know. Otherwise, I'll plan to go live with it and sort of the next round of social media posts promoting the events. We'll also link directly to this page.
Okay. I think lots of pictures are good.
Yes. Yeah, right now I've just got the basic one here, but can always add more and
If
keep
I,
building out.
yeah,
So any
yeah.
thoughts you have? It's very clunky HTML coding, so I can upload pictures in small, medium, or large, and left, center, or right aligned. That's basically all I can do.
Okay, that should be in good enough. All right, thanks. That looks great.
Then this is a bit off topic, but I did create a leaf blower page with all the information, and this will be on social media this week.
So I saw a couple of little errors.
Okay.
Was right near the beginning. Maybe we can just look at it after. We don't have to take down tonight. But there was just a few little.
Right there.
Operate. Oh, no. Yep, ordinance was one.
Ordinance.
That was one. And then see where it says within. Is it, I believe that's one word. Within the village, next line.
Oh.
Oh,
Oh,
actually,
right there.
yeah, ordinance didn't get current.
Oh, right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I will
And there
so
was maybe one more right around.
I have one more thing about the Bird City issue. Ben, can you give me odds on hearing back anything from Triton operations people?
Yeah, so I did talk, and I didn't get a 100% clear answer, but definitely it's a good possibility, and especially if it's going to be cameras, that should be very doable. Just I'm not certain about getting people on the route, but if it's to put up a camera, that should be feasible. Yeah.
okay.
But they just wanted to know what are the cameras going to look like and where are they going to be? And so I assumed we need a bit more time to answer those questions, but
Yeah, and yeah, okay, so that's great. Do they know the kind of time frame we're looking at?
yeah.
Okay, so if I gave you a suggested building or two, you could take it to them and we'd go from there. Okay.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so you need to know about the camera, what's involved with putting in the camera and where. Okay, that's great. That's great. Thank you. One moment, I do have access to these drives again. I can pull up one more thing just quickly relating to the bird efforts. All right. Last month, we had talked about just documenting and keeping track of everything that we've got. So the left side of the screen is just a working Word document that I have. The right side of the screen are just files that I am saving to document each action. So the number corresponds with the action, and then there's just a brief description. So we've got our World Migratory Bird Day proclamation complete. Our bird day events are obviously scheduled, going to happen. We will just need documentation. I've got screenshots and links saved for those. And then I think photos of the events would be sort of helpful to include with the application. Can do that. I'll attend everything and take pictures.
The Bird City resolution, I figured this we would want. Once we've got the monitoring program sort of launched, and then bring that to the board as sort of the final piece before we submit for the application. So I was planning, and we can adjust this as needed, bringing it to this commission on June, I believe it's 9th is our June meeting, and then the one June board meeting for the village board is June 22nd. So that's tentative. We can continue working on that.
What are you bringing in
Th
at the next
this
meeting?
would be the resolution for the
Oh,
bird say that we're required to do once every 3 years. So, and then we're required to do three habitat actions. Just quickly looking through, I've found four, including the promoting conservation of a specific species, which is obviously in development, but substantial effort to promote pollinator health. The town of Normal had the Mayor's Monarch Pledge as their documentation for that. I included that as ours. We are a Tree City USA community. I'll make sure we have our most recent certificate, which will be in the next couple weeks. And then we do have public gardens. I did go out and just quickly grab pictures of the butterfly garden on Central here, the native plant garden on Hawthorne, which hopefully we get grants to fix up, and then the Chicago Avenue bioswales.
did you include our ARBNET designation as well?
I don't think so, but I
Oh,
can.
yeah, throw it in. Why not? It's a nice compilation of everything we've done.
And then we were required to do three additional actions. I put together four. So one is just to show community sustainability initiatives, which we have a lot for. So I just did our curbside composting, our guide to sustainable living, our sustainability commission. There's probably more I can add to there, but I think we've checked that box. Community solar program,
the efforts to reduce light pollution. I've noted the lights out resolution, as well as how we've incorporated it into the website, social media posts, and then the sort of 2.3.1 and 2.3.3 are both dealing with light pollution. And so the providing information on the impacts, I just listed that as ongoing, but we'll continue to sort of grab the different screenshots and informational things that we put out there on that. So I think we're in a good place in terms of tracking everything and putting the application together once that time comes, but it was helpful for me and hopefully helpful for you to get this all sort of organized in one thing. And then,
that's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can I don't have my papers with me where I had checked off everything. Mm-hmm. Can I send you what?
Absolutely.
Okay. Yep. You can just put it all up there. Okay. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, that's great.
And that, I believe, was all I had for the Bird City stuff. Do we have any more on this, or should we move on to our next agenda item?
I have no more.
All right. So moving on, we had discussed last month the community aggregation program. And I know this is one of the questions you had brought up, 2,031 accounts as of March 3rd. So that's the total number in the program. Based on the feedback of the commission last month, it looks like we want the preference would be the civic contribution rather than the renewable energy credits, but to ensure that that money is going towards public facing visible sustainability projects. You know, whether I, Gary, you even just earlier this meeting, you had mentioned potentially for this bird monitoring project and things like that. And so there were some questions raised regarding specifically how the civic contribution is determined and all of that. I did copy the sort of more indented part was MC Squared's response back. So I thought it was pretty just generic and boilerplate, but we, at least we asked.
To clear the lawyers.
Yeah. I'm sure they're not going to divulge their, you know, proprietary data or something like that, as they may claim. But yeah, how this stands now, this would need to be voted on by the board at one of their next two meetings, both of which are before our next meeting, in order for the notices to go out in time, with how long of a turnaround that takes. So,
Seth, there are really two questions. One, do we continue? And then two, if we continue, A or B, is that what it is?
And then also the term, this, because you have 12 months or 24 months.
Yeah, there's 12 months or 24 months, and then there's the RECs or the civic contribution. Okay. Most communities I spoke with generally take civic contribution, it seems. Oak Park has a policy to not take renewable energy credits, so... yeah, that's my understanding of it. And some of them, particularly I know Oak Parks, is that money goes directly into a sustainability fund. We do not have as many sort of segregated funds like that, but it could be easily like a sort of sustainability commission, boards and commissions or something like that, that it would be potentially incorporated in for the revenue side.
Why do you know why Oak Park does not take RECs?
I don't know. I can reach out and ask. I think it's that they want to do more direct, and this is just sort of, if I were to hypothesize, they wanted more direct carbon offsets rather than renewable energy credits, which is sort of the, I don't know, for this downstream, upstream way to offset carbon.
Okay.
So yeah, they wanted things more direct, like, energy efficiency building in buildings, things like that. So
Yeah, direct community input versus. So what do we need to do at this point, Seth?
When the last time this came up, the board had specifically asked for a commission recommendation on this. So, before even bringing this to the board this time, I brought this to the commission. So I think that anything that goes to them, the memo would include the sort of a summary of the discussion of this commission and then what the ultimate recommendation of you all would be.
Anyone have any thoughts or comments beyond what we've already had?
Yeah, I would say from the discussion on last time, I agree with that. And we had pointed out the 24 months, correct, and that we saw that there was maybe a reduction of money and that worries that that could continue in the future. So then locking in the 24 months, was that kind of the basis behind it, right?
Yeah, I think that was the general. There's the sort of risk reward there is they could come back in 12 months and offer more, or they could come back in 12 months and say, well, we can match the same ComEd rate, but we can't offer a civic contribution this time, or something like that. So the last two times it was just 5% renewable energy credits. This time it's option of 10% or the civic contribution.
Well, yeah, I think the option two civic grant and then 24 months seems to be our recommendation.
So do we need to take a vote on that motion? You read it out, Seth, so we all know.
Yeah, so this would be a motion to recommend the Village Board approve an ordinance extending the term of the Master Power Supply Agreement with MC Squared Energy Services LLC. With the civic grant for a term of 24 months, and recommend that the village board that such funds raised through the civic grant go toward public-facing sustainability projects within the community.
Motion.
No second.
Co-Chair Charette,
Yes.
Co-Chair Lennon,
Yes.
Commissioner Cadleck,
Yes.
Commissioner Avalos,
Yes.
Commissioner Hoyt.
Yes.
All right. That will be recommended to the board. I don't know if it will be at the second April meeting or the May meeting, but I will keep you all updated and then let you know when that goes there for consideration. Next item of business. So the village is a member of the Food Scrap and Compost Coalition, the Illinois Food Scrap and Compost Coalition. There's several S's in there and C's in there. But they've been reaching out to all the communities that are a part of it, asking them to adopt Compost Awareness Week proclamation. We'd done this a few years ago. So I wanted to bring this all to you. This is trying to find where I have the proclamation here. This is pretty much the template language that they provided. So I don't know if anybody has any edits, anything they want to specifically incorporate into the proclamation. But then this would likely go to the board as well in one of the next two meetings. So.
I wondered if we could incorporate in somehow the sites that we have where people can compost, because
The drop-off sites.
yeah, because it seems sort of general, but say we're specifically supporting this by having sites and then list all the places where we have sites.
Yeah, and also data, if it's good data, I assume it's good.
Just like number of
Yeah, number.
residents subscribed to the curbside composting program.
Yeah, and I don't know if you're able, you probably can't go deep and ask them about like tonnage of
We do.
composter.
We have
You can get
tonnage.
tonnage. That's in the monthly reports. It's not a huge amount. It's included with yard waste is
Yeah, it's
included
not
with it.
huge
So,
though.
but yeah,
But maybe we could give sort of an annual number on that just to.
Yeah, I was going to suggest, Seth, proclamations are proclamations, but as it goes out, put up, a front-facing attachment to it, or back page, we're going to call it to it, that describes, what we're doing in the village and how it does. It is a closed-loop system, if you would, right?
Yep.
And so that, here's how you can compost, here's what happens to it, here's how, where it comes back to the village, all that kind of stuff. So that, people have a feel that it's more than, hey, yeah, we're saluting this proclamation, that there's really a process in place and it benefits the village.
Yeah, that's a really great idea, because I'm actually waiting for my delivery of compost, finished compost, like you guys probably are. And if you, put some numbers to that, so that it's made local.
Yeah, I don't know if it's to manage, but I can at least share the volume of compost. Yeah, the cubic feet delivered every year. Yep.
Be nice.
Yeah, and we just got our first load in last Thursday. I think they got about 20 houses down the list and have already asked for a second load, which should be back delivered tomorrow to continue. So
okay. Could come any day now, is what you're saying.
Could come any day, or it could come in mid-May.
Yeah, right. Okay. I know in the past they've called and then a bobcat shows up and it's just dumped on the parkway.
They should be talking to somebody before they do confirming, but yeah.
That's okay, because that's where I want it actually, is on the parkway. Otherwise, I think,
Yeah, otherwise, that's good.
Those giving it some local flavor.
Yeah, so I'll add however many whereas provisions, and I'll do it probably, I think, right before, or maybe put it right at the start after the first one.
Or even incorporating them where they talk about soil, and then maybe just throw in a sentence about, over the past year. I mean, it's just like a sentence here and there.
Yeah, because the key issue is that the closed loop, that it's coming back.
Yeah.
And all of this, that's not it's not made concrete that it's actually coming back to River Forest, to people's yards and gardens.
Yeah.
And maybe like if I don't know, I get moved when I read and listen to proclamations. So if there's like an putting in at the end, like, whereas you can get finished composting by signing up for the program or something like that.
Yeah. So we'll highlight the program, the number of subscribers, the total organics tonnage, the drop-off locations for those who are not subscribed in the program, and then that it is delivered back, and then sort of end with
volume,
that the volume that has been distributed into lawns and gardens here within the community from this same collection process.
Yep.
Perfect.
All right. So if we wanted to take an official vote on that, I think that would then be a motion to recommend the village board approve a proclamation recognizing the first week in May as Compost Awareness Week within the Village of River Forest, while highlighting the village's efforts at composting
So moved.
I will second.
All right, Co-Chair Charette.
Yes.
Co-Chair Lennon.
Yes.
Commissioner Kadlec.
Yes.
Commissioner Avalos.
Yes.
Commissioner Hoyt.
Yes.
Right. I do have, Manolo had sent me over just some quick bullet points for the green building idea he had put forward. And I know this is still a work in progress.
Oh, thanks, Seth. I completely forgot.
I'm assuming this is sort of how you envisioned the sort of document to flow.
Also, if anybody thinks that anything else should be added, I wanted to bring it here before I start diving in to add on to others. If there's any other topics that you would like to contribute or think that should be in it that I did not, let me know, or just any other ideas you have, or if you want to help, because it's a slow process, because I'm busy.
The first point already exists, right? The sustainable living guide.
Yeah, I'm thinking of getting a lot from the sustainability guide and the website and just putting it into words and maybe paraphrasing, because people just don't read links also. And if it's going to be printed, I feel like printing the website would be weird, but yeah.
So, okay. So you envision this as an actual guide that might be upstairs in Village Hall.
Yes, that's what I was envisioning.
It was like a one page flyer was the sort of initial conversation with you, and then Trustee Gillis is sort of like just sort of like a one pager of information or something like that. Yeah. And I know we've got just a very short electrification section and then two links to these were actually initially the heat pumps and induction stoves were newsletter articles that Luis had written up a couple years ago that we then decided to permanently add to the website. But yeah, I think this was more sort of bullet point pops of just sort of general benefits of electric appliances.
Okay. You know, as a homeowner who hasn't made the jump to full electrification yet, what would have be helpful or would have been helpful to us, maybe imagine to others is getting ahead of the curve. And I don't know, like as far as recommending vendors or if that's something that is off limits, but like
I don't know if we can recommend like specific vendors, but like you can be like brands such as
I think that would be really
things like that.
Because like when a furnace goes out or water heater goes out or your HVAC goes out, it's usually a crisis and people haven't thought about it. And then they need to fix it. And the first easiest thing people know how to do is to put in the conventional equipment. So if there's any way you can get ahead of the curve, and something like this could get ahead of the curve so that people have to do as little research as possible. You can say, well, here are the most efficient Consumer Reports rated heat pumps for our region. And that way I don't have to go dig through, you know, in a crisis situation, I don't have to go find this information. Whatever could be done to just make it instead of, I mean, yeah, the benefits, they're all there. I presume most people know that, but if to get from like the need to an actual action, that would have helped us. And I imagine that would help a lot of people. So, but you know, if that's just brands, configurations, recommended configurations, something to get beyond generalities.
Yeah. And yeah, I was toying with the idea of that. And that was a question but I had for Seth. And I guess we're sort of like these brands, such as have worked in the can we go as broad to be like they've worked in the region, they're hyper local?
Are you in terms of like the brand of appliance or the like a contractor?
The contractor, sorry.
With that, and I know we had discussed this before, is like
well, because I mean I bring that up because some contractors don't have experience with this stuff. Some contractors actively discourage it. They don't want to work with this stuff.
Yeah.
So again, that's another obstacle to a consumer.
Yep.
So how could we?
And that I think we discussed probably a couple years ago before. And like, I think the difficulty with that is that sort of how the village licenses contractors, like that's not sort of like a specific credential. Like, so for like electricians, if you search the village website, you can see whether or not they are certified by the State Commerce Commission to be an electric vehicle installer, charging station installer. And we specifically have that within the electrician license. If you hire a plumber, you can see if they're specifically qualified to dig within the right of way, or if they can just do sort of the basic sort of in-house plumbing things. And like those are sort of separate things that there's some sort of existing credential and protection beyond. And this, I don't know if there's that exact thing.
Maybe
So it might
Manolo.
be just like finding out and separately listing which contractors specialize in
That's
this.
what I was going to say. How can we start that process so when people want to reach out, they've got some ideas.
I mean, often there is like a trade coalition, you know, so there will be a group that has their own certification for installing heat pumps, and we could just link to that, and they'll send the person to, you know, contractors. Right.
Or it could be a question posed to the HVAC people that are already listed with the village. Just say,
Yeah,
is this,
just.
you know, we want to pull this out as a separate. And I think that's one thing that gives credibility when they see, like, okay, villages are actually showing this. People are interested and push it a little forward.
Potentially just having some sort of outreach. And that's basically what we did with the electricians is I think when we were doing the EV readiness stuff is we brought that back internally, and then staff reached out and basically said, we're changing how the licensing is displayed for the profession. If you have a certification as an EV installer with the state, please send that in. Please make sure that's uploaded when you're renewing your license. And let me see if I can even quickly get there.
Just a quick Google search, or yeah, there is some kind of heat pump installation certification.
Is that with like the
ESCO, recognized by something. ESCO, Carrier recognizes it. Yeah, so I'm just saying, like, I think a little bit of research could come up with some really useful
So yeah, here's
perfect.
electricians. So with EV installer certification and then without. So like these are the guys that just do sort of like, you know, fixing the outlets, all of that stuff, the basic wiring in the house. These are the guys that can put that level two charger in somebody's garage if they want it.
Cool. I would also maybe dig into Consumer Reports or something like that and see what they say about individual brands. Just kind of like
Yeah.
familiarize yourself with the.
Is there HVAC under the contractors?
Oh, let me. Oh, yep, HVAC.
Yeah, so that seems like that would be the place, you know, instead of just going out into the outer world, these are the contractors that do business in the village and, you
But
know,
yep.
which.
Yeah, this would be the outreach for, and then I think first step might be just like polling to see whether they do have specialized work in any sort of all electric appliances. And then
Definitely.
if there's, yeah, not some sort of like clean certification that like everyone who works on it has this and everyone who doesn't, then maybe it's just one of these things that, you know, falls into this one pager of here are the ones who have indicated they do have expertise in working with these sorts of appliances, and that just gets sort of incorporated into the guide.
Is that on our checklist, Seth? I think we talked about that before with electricians and HVAC companies, you know, that give them tick the box to say, yeah, we install this stuff. So when they're renewing their licenses.
I think that's like if there is, some sort of like clear, like certification or thing like that, then that would be then incorporated into their, license renewal.
Okay, so we are collecting it for all those types of things, all right?
We don't currently ask if they do that sort of work. But like electricians, we do ask if they, do EV installations and have that certification,
Yeah, I think
there's
if we can do it, it'd be good to do for the HVAC and water heaters and that type
Mindful,
of
maybe
stuff.
that could be part of your inquiry. Just see, is there a certification they get, and is this something that we could incorporate into our.
I can definitely, yeah, I jotted down that note. I'm definitely interested in making that part of this. And
You know, the guy that did my
yes.
water heater, heat pump water heater, his main business is solar panels and overall electrification. You know, so he comes out and does this whole survey, because he's trying to sell you on hooking everything up, right? So, as they come in for their license or whatever, you have them tick all those boxes to say, what do you do? And that way it helps them and it helps us. I really like your point, Dave, and I would suggest, read through your list. Obviously, the bottom two look like they're just typos because they're redundant, but everything's a positive in there except the switching away from. And I know that's what your mindset is, but you're trying to encourage people. So I would flip that around to something positive, which is moving towards electrification, right? And that's what you're really talking about there, and that's what Dave's talking about. So one of the first steps is to at least identify the opportunities. And start to plan for them, right? So, and that's really what he's saying there too. So I would suggest something like that. So keep it all on the positive front.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I know you'd, I think this is probably just running notes with the sustainable building materials, which I think, like, if this works, that would sort of then be like the next thing to develop a similar guide for. And then I think you had mentioned weatherization things in the past as well. But yeah, I think it's sort of benefits of electrification, and then get into specifically separately the financial benefits of like the energy savings and the environmental benefits of it. And then from there, here's the, appliances that have gotten the good consumer ratings for the region and things like that. Here's the local contractors who have specialization or expertise working with this. And sort of, I sort of imagine like sort of two sort of paragraphs or bullet points at the top to sort of, or I guess sections at the top to highlight the financial and environmental savings. And then after that, the sort of details to help people navigate of what do I buy, who do I hire, and that stuff from there is. That's sort of how I think. Am I capturing this conversation correctly?
But I personally would stay away from us putting out these are the ratings for this area or anything. I would simply send people to a location where they can do that. Simply because there's, Consumers Reports, number one, you have to pay for it to be able to see it. And they tend to judge things differently than some of the others. There's a number of different, if you ever go out and buy anything and I think you'll probably do this, you find that a lot of different rating entities out there. And so I tend to look at four or five, six of them. What I look for is the consistency across them. And it gets down to not make model numbers within a make often. So it gets to be so specific to your particular needs, which one's the right one for you. That just putting out there a Bosch or whatever isn't necessarily the proper one, may not be the best one or proper one for them. So I would just maybe steer them to a link, Google link that takes them out to where they can then peruse those on their own. That'd be my own thought.
Okay, yeah, I see where that's coming from. I'll noodle around with it and all the things that were said tonight and come up with.
It's a big task.
Hopefully have it. Yeah, I'm gonna have parts of finished to next month unless anyone else would like to help me. We can accomplish more, but
I can
I'll
look
have
over it
some
with
of
you.
it
We can work
done.
on it together.
Okay, cool. Okay, thanks.
There's my agenda. So just quickly, the EV quarterly report. So I kept in like the previous few quarters and months data, just to sort of highlight that linear change. And going back further with the electric vehicle charging station permits, it had been two, three, maybe four every quarter since I started tracking this data. And then over the first 3 months of this year, 12 building permits have come in with people either updating an outlet in their garage to be capable for a level one charger or fully installing a level two charger in their garage. So that was like, I like had to do a double take and I was like looking back at the dates. I'm like, no, this is accurate. Cause I even like found the two from the fourth quarter of 2025. And I'm like, there's 12 above this on the list. And I was like, there's gotta be just like, it caught a question weird in like my filtering. And no, it was every one of these people was either outlet for an EV charger or installing an EV charger. So that was.
So what's your interpretation of that?
I just think that adoption of electric vehicles is increasing. And in a community like this, I think people want to be able to charge at home, and some people are willing to pay the, $8,000 to be able to get a pretty full charge at home rather than, 50 miles for having it plugged in with a level one. So.
But it's interesting.
Rehabs or the new builds, South, that'd be interesting to know.
These are just the straight electrical permits. So, yeah, I don't know exactly how the permitting system works, if it's like a full rehab like that, but I generally think that, with those bigger projects, sort of each specialized subcontractor is then coordinating their own
they do.
Permit. Mm-hmm. So
I think there's a successful social movement away from the ICE engine, and that's part of it. And I think it's reflected also in the hybrid vehicle registration.
Yeah, that shot up almost or over 40 within the last few months. So
I think when I met with you and Jack, the engineering chief of public works, we were talking about a number that had just come out at that time in October, that the carbon emissions from most sectors for various reasons had increased in all cases except for domestically transportation, and that the likely cause was adoption of EVs in damping that. So I think we're seeing that right here.
Even though, I guess I didn't look specifically at hybrids, but for electric vehicles, it's really starting to taper off compared to past years. But I think it's very encouraging.
And then I sort of changed the metrics on how we were tracking the EV stuff. I know we had the session charging length histogram with the installation of the fast chargers that sort of becomes moot because they charge at a faster rate. So I'm really tracking the energy usage and then the total sessions and total number of drivers. So the quarterly metrics are on the first page, and then the monthly metrics are on the last page. The bold is the most recent quarter. And so you can see, particularly with the monthly one, we got the fast chargers online, I think it was February 28th. So basically the month of March is the one that shows the usage, including the fast chargers over on Franklin Avenue. And the kilowatt hours basically went up more than 3,000 more than the previous months. Nearly double the unique drivers, and way more charging sessions as well. So I sort of charted this out. There was just made two energy consumption charts. The one where everything except for Village Hall is much smaller is the full 3 months. Village Hall still seems to be the most popular charging destination with the oldest, least powerful of the level two chargers. But I think that's probably people's habit more than anything else. And then River Forest Paired 4, which I believe is the very first of the four parking spots when you pull in over there to the station, has the most usage. And then you can see that the next three all have pretty decent usage. And then the level twos over at Thatcher Lot have not gotten as much usage. We'll continue to monitor that and see if there's ways to sort of promote more usage over there. But again, one's basically gotten none, and that's the one that you have to pull all the way around for. The others have gotten some. So So,
What's the difference between the top one and the bottom?
the chart where all the rest of the bars are smaller and then the Village Hall one is much larger is all 3 months. The other one is
Okay,
just the
this is
month of
one. Okay.
March. Yeah, because I believe the Thatcher ones went online the 2nd week of February. And then, yeah, right at the end of February, start of March was when the fast chargers came online. And then beyond that, for project updates, we are going out to bid soon for the permeable paver project here at Village Hall. And installation for the solar panels at the Public Works Garage is expected to start about a month from now in mid-March. And then just to quickly run through communications, I think I might have this wrong. I think I've got leaf blower set to go this week. I have Earth Day written on here and then Arbor Day next week, but I honestly might just start promoting the migratory bird stuff next week. Compost awareness and highlighting the various compost options available to residents. Migratory Bird Day stuff again. Leaf blower reminder, the final Migratory Bird Day event, and then yeah,
Are
I've got.
you timing that compost one with the proclamation?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah, so it'll be during that, like leading into the recognized week. But yeah, I think everything there we've got stuff written up, so we should be all good. If you guys have any ideas or things specifically want to promote, I've got all the bird stuff queued up. And for the time being, if there is a gap or if there's a way to incorporate it, I'm just
Let me
going to
know.
keep plugging those
Oh,
in.
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, just the bird walk, if you've got the link. I was checking the Forest Preserve website. I didn't see that one, but I just might have missed it.
Okay.
But yeah, that's all I've got. So I know made you guys start late tonight and kept you here later than usual. So I don't know if you guys have anything else.
I meant to mention this at the beginning of the meeting, but there's this push in Illinois. It's been a long push, but and I think the city of Chicago actually sued because I'm still kind of unclear. I just learned about this today and wanted to bring it to your all's attention. I'm not sure if you all are aware, but allowing states or cities or you personally, I guess, if you want to sue people for polluting or having oil, and there's federal legislation. Laura Dirks and a few other people, she's an Oak Parker, reached out and asked if I would be interested. She's given me a bunch of postcards. If anybody would like some more, I can ask for some more. But if you have any groups or anyone interested.
And this is, isn't this to block a federal ruling that oil companies cannot be held responsible for the effects of their polluting?
It could have been. I am very not well versed on this issue, but I need to Google more.
I'm interested if you once you have a little more information.
Yeah, I can come up with more information and bring it forward if people would like.
And along the same lines, I believe one of the days this week is the Illinois Environmental Council's lobby day down in Springfield, because this is only the 3rd week since January that both the House and Senate have apparently been in Springfield at the same
Right,
time.
yeah.
So I think every sort of advocacy group is down there this week to try and make a push. So come our June meeting when the state legislative cycle's wrapped up, if I see anything that's sort of interesting or noteworthy for this commission, I'll be sure to sort of include that as just a summary for all of your information as well.
Thanks.
And I don't know how political a Village newsletter can get, but I just thought that was interesting, and maybe I can write something up on that if you have a place where you're just plugging something in, if that's allowed or maybe risky.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that specifically. Because I think that would need to be like something like that there's like a clear stance on. I honestly don't know, but feel free to send it my way if you'd like. but then next meeting will be also at 7:30.
We hope.
One more month of conflicts with T-ball for me, and then we can get back to our early scheduled programming come June. But so it'll be May 12th, and I will be rushing over here from another T-ball game, just like I did today. I came into my uniform when Susan and Carrie were already in here. I May 12th. And then with that, we will need a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Right. Co-Chair Charette.
Yes.
Co-Chair Lennon.
Yes.
Commissioner Cadlec.
Yes.
Commissioner Avalos.
Yes.
Commissioner Hoyt. We are adjourned at 8:57.